August 20th, Chamani Didi Jiva Dharma.
My most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupat, Astodhira Satashri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances and the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupat Astodhira Satashri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So we haven't had classes for a few weeks now. We're on chapter 8 of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Ocean in a Jar called Jiva Dharma. And I guess for a few moments we'll review the first 7 chapters and then begin chapter 8. As we mentioned in the last class, Jiva Dharma is a expansion of the verse Anyavilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadhyan Avritam Anukulyena Krishnana Sivanam Bhaktir Uttamam, the definition of pure bhakti, what bhakti is, what bhakti isn't. So throughout the entire book, there are discussions, debates, humble inquiries as to what is real bhakti, what is illusory bhakti, what is the real world, what is the illusory world. So chapter 1 opens with Sannyasi Thakur, who was a Mayavadi sannyasi, who met Paramahamsa Babaji and surrendered to him and became a pure devotee. And he asked many very good questions. Srila Gurudev said there's so many good questions in this book that you cannot even imagine asking them, or to speak of answering them. So he asked, what is real religion? And why is it that so many teachers give different explanations of religion if religion is one? What is reality? What is illusion? And Paramahamsa Das Babaji, who is his spiritual master and the leading Vaishnav of the area of Gojumdweep and Pradyumna Kunj. There are so many Vaishnavas who all take his shelter, and now Sannyasi Thakur is getting his shelter. By the mercy of Paramahamsa Babaji, Sannyasi Thakur got some understanding of his own Suru, and then gradually he progressed from his covered situation very, very quickly to Ashakti, to Bhav, and then to Prem. And there was one, then they kirtan together, they had so many discussions. And then one other personality, who later on becomes a prominent personality in Jiva Dharma, is Lahiri Mahasaya, who started out as a professional kirtaniya. And he began asking questions about the difference between smarta Brahmins and their daily ritualistic functions, like their version of Gayatri and so on, and why Vaishnavas disdain that. So Vaishnava Das explained very elaborately what is the difference between Nitya Dharma, or the eternal religion of the soul, and Naimittik Dharma, or the temporary so-called religion, which is based on the desire for fruitive activities and the desire for impersonal liberation. The Lahiri Mahasaya was convinced by the arguments, and he decided, on the direction of Prem Das Babaji, to accept Vaishnava Das as his guru. And he left bad association and moved into the Kunj right next door to Vaishnava Das. And then his family tried to deprogram him, his son and his friend. They came over and tried to dissuade him from his bhakti. They also had the doubt that he should just go home and practice Brahmanism and his chanting at home. And he preached to them, and then Vaishnava Das preached to them about how Varnashram Dharma and the Vedic rituals of the Brahmanas are actually just in relation to the body and the mind, and false desire to be God, which can never happen. So the two of them weren't very happy about it, that is his son and his friend. But all the Vaishnavas were in ecstasy. Then also they had asked, the son saw in the course of their conversation that Vaishnava Das and the Vaishnavas were honoring one Muslim, the head of a Muslim religious group, and they couldn't understand how the Vaishnavas could lower themselves to give respect to Muslims. Then a whole chapter went on explaining how Vaishnavism doesn't depend on caste or creed, whether one is Hindu or Muslim. Even if one is born in the family of dog eaters, if he's a Vaishnava, he's far superior and much more accepted by Krishna than somebody who's born in the family of Brahmins. Even if decorated with the 12 brahminical qualities, if he's not a Vaishnava. So in this way, discussions go on and debates go on. And gradually, we're coming. Now then, Lahiri Mahasaya also, though he was originally a professional kirtaniya, by association with the Vaishnavas, he also became a pure Vaishnava. So much so that the pure Vaishnavas of Gojrum were singing his songs. We hear from Gurudev that one should not sing the kirtan of anyone but a pure Vaishnava. But the Vaishnavas are now singing the songs of Lahiri Mahasaya, because his songs now evoke ecstatic love in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. And that is how our eighth chapter opens. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is very kind to give us settings to put our minds into. So when we hear the philosophy within those settings, it becomes more alive. Just as Krishna and Arjuna were kind enough to have their conversation right in the middle of a battlefield when a battle was about to ensue. So we are now in a forest bordering the southeastern bank of the sacred pond or lake known as Sri Gaura Hrida, where not Vaishnava Das and Paramahamsa Das Babaji were living, but another group of Vaishnavas. And they invited Paramahamsa Das Babaji and all of his group of Vaishnavas to their abode, Sri Gaura Hrida, for prasadam. And after prasadam, they engaged in conversations about Krishna, discussing what are the similarities between Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila. Then some other Vaishnavas arrived from Bhadagati, and they all joined in hearing the discussions. And they offered obeisances. First they offered obeisances to the pure Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas returned with suitable respects and seated them. Then there was one of those Vaishnavas from Bhadagati who was very, very old. He was about 100 years old. And he offered his obeisances to the, was he from Bhadagati? Oh no, he was from Sri Gaura Hrida. And one Vaishnava from Bhadagati asked a question that he ultimately answered, which is the whole conversation of this eighth chapter. Right there where the Vaishnavas were all taking prasadam, there was an old banyan tree, and around the banyan tree, a terrace, which was called Nittai Vat, because Nityananda Prabhu was personally there. And one young Vaishnava, who was from Bharagati, he was one of the guests, and he requested all the Vaishnavas that, "I have a question, and I hope that one of you will kindly answer it." So the old Vaishnava from Sri Gaura Hrida, that is, Sri Gaura Hrida is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu version of Kaliya Hrida in Vrindavan, because in Kaliya Hrida, Krishna punished and delivered Kaliya, snake, and in Gaura Hrida, Mahaprabhu delivered one crocodile in that pond. So that's why the Vaishnavas originally started discussing the similarities in the two Leelas, Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. So the young Vaishnava asked a question, and Haridas Babaji Mahasaya, who was about 100 years old and accepted by all the other Vaishnavas as very, very wise and scholarly, he suggested that Vaishnava Das of Godrum should answer his question. What was the question? The question was, how should a Vaishnava behave towards different kinds of people? This young Vaishnava accepted that Vaishnava Dharma is the only eternal Dharma, and everything else is stepping stones or degrees of purity in Vaishnava Dharma, which is also called, as we learned from the previous chapters, also called Prem Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, Vaishnav Dharma, and Nitya Dharma. It's the eternal, unadulterated activity of the soul in relation to the Supreme Soul. And, of course, it's also called Jiva Dharma. That is the meaning of Jiva Dharma. So Jiva Dharma and the definition of bhakti is one, Anyavilasita Sunya. So when he asked that question, Haridas Babaji requested Vaishnava Das that, "I think that you're the best person to reply this young Vaishnava's question, because you had direct association of Prakashananda Saraswati, who was, as you know, the Mayavadi leader of all the 60,000 or so Mayavadi philosophers, who was converted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became a great Vaishnava. And he said, you are also received so many instructions from Paramahamsa Das Babaji. So therefore, you're the best person to answer." So Vaishnava Das said, "No, I think you're the best person, because you personally met Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and you're a recipient of Mahaprabhu's mercy, and you also helped so many devotees. Nityananda Prabhu is the direct expansion of Lord Baladev, and you are his pure devotee. So we want your mercy." Then Haridas Babaji agreed, because all the Vaishnavas agreed with Vaishnava Das. So very humbly he offered obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu at Nityananda Vat. Then he offered, amazingly enough, see, the question is, how do Vaishnavas behave with all others? So he's shown by his own example, even before he starts speaking. He not only offered obeisances to Lord Nityananda at Nityananda Vat, but he offered his obeisances to all jivas, all living entities. And in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports to the seventh canto, in relation to Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his two materialistic teachers, Prahlad is indicating that one should see all living entities as his Prabhus. not only devotees, but all living entities. So he began by saying that actually all living entities are servants of Krishna. Some accept and some don't accept. Therefore, there's two kinds of living entities. One who's leaning towards Krishna and one who turns away from him. But the subject of this conversation, he's saying, is not about those who turn away from Krishna, but about those who are Vaishnavas and how various kinds of Vaishnavas behave towards others. What is the moral duty of one living entity to another for those who are not selfish? That is first explained by him. That's not Vaishnava Dharma though, although the qualities are so wonderful of ordinary moral behavior to others that it's way, way too high for me. But still, it's not the Nitya Dharma or the Vaishnava behavior. And those 10 characteristics of relating to others is that one is has determination with patience. One is very forgiving. He doesn't retaliate if somebody hurts him, abuses him, insults him. He has control of his mind. He's never angry at anybody. He's honest. He's not, in other words, he's not a thief. And he's very clean. Not only is he not angry, but he's not angry in any circumstances, even when there's a good reason to be angry. He doesn't engage in sense gratification. He knows the Shastra. He's wise, meaning wise. What does wise mean? Wise means that he knows what is the relationship between the living entities and Krishna. Then he explains that there's six out of those 10 are in relation to the self, and 4 out of those 10 are in relation to others. Now, to explain those 4 in relation to others is the subject of this entire 8th chapter. He explains that there are 3 kinds of devotees. And I think most of you have heard those descriptions here and there and everywhere in our various books and lectures. But here in this 8th chapter, it's explained very, very elaborately. Haridas Babaji Mahasaya begins by saying that these 10 are good. These 10 characteristics are good, but they're not everything. If one is not a Vaishnava, then all these 10 are useless. Then he quotes one verse that it's better to have a life of only 5 days as a Vaishnava. But even if one can live for thousands of kalpas, if he's not a Vaishnava, his thousands of kalpas of living is useless. Like the example the Bhagavatam gives, that what is the use of a long duration of life that is just like the breathing of the bellows in the blacksmith shop? It's just in and out, but there's no real life there. And then he quotes another very, very nice verse from the Bhagavatam, which our Srila Prabhupada used to quote quite often. Svavivarahostra, about the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And he heard us, Babaji explains how they're hogs, dogs, camels, and asses if they don't worship the brother of Baladev, Gadagraja, Krishna, who not only holds a club, that's Baladev, but who holds a flute. The real meaning of Gada, as explained by Srila Gurudev, is Krishna's flute. So camels eat cactuses, and asses carry heavy loads for others. And pigs, or hogs, they eat stool. So anything that's not prasadam is like stool or cactus. In fact, Gurudev once said, if you don't take prasadam, but you take unoffered things, then you're eating stool. And if you're drinking anything that's not offered, then you're drinking urine. So now, he's explaining that there are three kinds of Vaishnavas, and each of these three kinds of Vaishnavas, automatically, by their own characteristics, their own natures, their own level of advancement, they act differently with different living entities. And of course, as you know, the three kinds of Vaishnavas are the Kanistas, the Madhyamas, and the Uttama Adhikaris. The Kanista Adhikari worships the deity. He has faith. There are those who are below Kanista, who are materialistic devotees. The Kanista is a materialistic devotee. But he does have faith in the form of the deity, and he does worship the deity with faith. Whereas previous to Kanista, below Kanista, are those who, they may worship the deity, as discussed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in previous chapters, that is these brahmanas who do their sandhya vandana and do their regular daily functions, their activities are not nitya dharma. See, they think that nitya dharma means activities that a smart brahmana does every day, and the naimittik dharma, or the temporary and occasional religion, is what they do occasionally. Like, for example, if there's a Shraddha ceremony, because it's not every day that somebody's relative's going to die and they're going to have a Shraddha ceremony. So that would be occasional religious activities, and their daily activities of Gayatri Mantra and other rituals is eternal. But as we learned from the previous chapters, that's not true at all, because the real definition of naimittik dharma, or temporary occasional religion, is even if somebody's worshipping the deity and chanting and hearing, he doesn't believe in the deity. He thinks that the form of the deity is temporary and illusory, and his whole aim and objective is to merge into the impersonal. It's not even that he wants something from the deity, because he doesn't think the deity is even real. So, at least the Kanista Adhikari, he's on the doorway or the threshold of bhakti. Though he's a materialistic devotee, he's a devotee in the sense that he's a shadow devotee, which is better than not being any kind of devotee. He's a shadow devotee or a semblance of a devotee. He worships the deity. What makes him a semblance? Nobody can be a devotee unless he properly respects all jivas, and especially if he worships and serves pure Vaishnavas. So for the Kanista Adhikari, he worships the deity, but he has no Vaishnava seva. In fact, he can't even recognize who's a Vaishnava and who's not, or who's on what level of Vaishnavism. And he doesn't serve the jivas. Real Shraddha, transcendental Shraddha, begins with this, Vaishnava seva. And with no Shraddha, then all the execution of all the different types of bhakti are not effective. Shuddha bhakti begins when the service of the Shuddha bhaktas. And if there's no Vaishnava seva, one can easily fall from Kanista bhakti. Then our Haridas Babaji Mahasaya quotes another important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Yashatma Bhuti Trinapeska Dataki. That is, anyone who's just identifying with this body, which is actually not our body, but it's actually a corpse body, which is made of mucus, bile, and air. Just imagine building a body out of mucus, bile, and air. That's this body. But anyone who thinks that he's this mucus, bile, and air corpse body, and thinks that his wife or her husband, their children, their parents, are theirs, and he thinks that the deity is made of wood or stone, or who thinks that, or who goes to the places of pilgrimage just to take bath, who's not interested in hearing from Shuddha Bhaktas, he's no better than an ass or a cow, because the asses and the cows, they do the same thing. They go to holy places just to bathe. And without worshipping the deity with faith, then one will automatically or necessarily yield to false philosophies, dry speculation. Deity worship without philosophy, as Prabhupada always used to say, is sentiment. And philosophy without religion or without deity worship is dry speculation. So the two have to be there. What's the difference between a Kanistha and a Madhyama Adhikari is that the Kanistha Adhikari has no sambandhagyan. That is, he doesn't know what is the relationship between himself and Krishna, and what is the relationship with all living entities in Krishna. And therefore, he doesn't serve Vaishnavas with faith, knowing that they're our, because of Krishna's great affection for them, that he can't live without them and they can't live without him. They don't know that unless one serves the Vaishnavas, then the deity can't be pleased. So where's the service, where's the real service to the deity? The Kanistha Adhikari is very, very prone to make offenses in the beginning, and his bhakti is called, his shraddha and his bhakti is called the semblance. Now, the question, the original question by this young Vaishnava, actually his name is Nityananda Das, you find out later. Nityananda Das had asked, what is the behavior of Vaishnavas towards others? So Haridas first explains the first level of Vaishnava, that is Kanistha Adhikari. But he said, actually, the rules of Vaishnava behavior don't really apply to him, because he doesn't know how to do it, because he doesn't know who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. So he doesn't know how to act towards other Vaishnavas. So the rules or the standards of Vaishnava behavior apply only to the Madhyama and the Uttama. Now the Madhyama Vaishnava, he has four different kinds of behaviors. One is towards Krishna, one is towards devotees, one is towards the innocent or ignorant, foolish person who just doesn't know anything but he's not inimical. And the fourth is towards those who are inimical and envious of devotion and devotees. And the way he acts towards them is that he loves Krishna, he has praying for Krishna. Now we know that only an Uttama Adhikari can actually have pure praying with full mamata. But the Madhyama Vaishnava has like a semblance of that praying. I asked Srila Gurudev about 10 years ago on the first world tour, how can he have praying? How can a Madhyama have praying? So Gurudev said he has praying up to the level of like Ashakti or going into Bhav. So it's not the full praying that is usually defined, which comes after Bhava Bhakti. But still it's called praying. So he loves Krishna, he's friendly towards devotees, and then there are different kinds of devotees, those who are superior to him, those who are equal to him, and those who are subordinate to him. That is, he worships and serves those who are superior. He, according to their level, that is, if Bhakti is Uttama, then he loves them as much as he loves Krishna. As it's stated in the Shastra, one who has the same faith to Guru as towards Krishna and Bhakti, all the imports of the Vedic literatures become revealed to him. So depending on the level of Vaishnava, he has that much service attitude and worship. And those who are equal to him, he shares his realizations. And those who are subordinate to him, he instructs. Those who are innocent and ignorant, he has mercy, forgives their offenses, forgives their abuses, and he is compassionate to them. He shows them mercy. So this behavior of the Madhyama Adhikari is not under the category of naimittik or material religion or moral activity. It's not moral. This is actually the Nitya Dharma, the way that the Madhyama Adhikaris act. At least when they develop properly, because there's the Kanistha Madhyama, the Madhyama Madhyama, and the Uttam Madhyama. So one who's actually developed in Madhyama Adhikari, who actually can behave properly, this is Nitya behavior. How he loves Krishna, how he worships devotees, how he shows mercy to the innocent, and neglects the envious. But that neglect of the envious is also explained very elaborately by Haridas Babaji. It's not necessarily what we think it is. And all other behavior that assists or is not opposed to these four behavioral activities of the Madhyama Adhikari, they can also be accepted when necessary, if it's not opposed, like these 10 moral characteristics of not getting angry and being forgiving and not wanting sense gratification. These are, if they're helpful to the bhakti, then they can also be employed. Because sometimes a Vaishnava gets angry, but his anger is not the material anger. It's all, everything that he does is within prema. Because one of the symptoms of Madhyama Adhikari is not only his relation to others, Vaishnavas and others, but in relation to Krishna, he always acts favorably, which is the definition of Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti has three levels. You know the definition of Uttama Bhakti, I'll say it anyway. The uninterrupted flow of activities performed by the body, mind, words, and spiritual sentiments of the heart for the sole purpose of giving pleasure to Krishna. It's not covered, such activities are not covered by the desire for fruitive results, or the desire for impersonal liberation, or any naimittik dharma, or yoga, or any other cities, any mystic powers. And it's compared with a stream of honey flowing from a jar, because it doesn't come in droplets that start and stop, but it's an unbroken flow. So this Uttama Bhakti has three stages. And the first stage is Sadhan Bhakti, and the second stage is Bhava Bhakti, and the third stage is Prema Bhakti. And this Sadhan Bhakti is not the Sadhan Bhakti of the Kanistha, because he's only doing Sadhana Abhas, or a shadow, not the real Sadhan. But Sadhan Bhakti, which means that all activities are performed, all activities of the nine processes of devotional service are performed only to attain Bhava Bhakti. There's no other purpose. Like, okay, I'll be free from misery, or nobody will criticize me, or I'll be liberated from birth and death. So the four kinds of people that the Vaishnavas, Madhyama Vaishnava, deals with is Krishna, the Vaishnavas, the innocent, and the atheist. So the Kanistha Adhikari does not come under the umbrella of Anyabhilashita Sunyam. But if he's associating with devotees, then he gradually comes to Anyabhilashita Sunyam or the platform of the Madhyama Adhikari. And that stage, he has sambandhagyan and a favorable disposition towards Krishna in all circumstances. The way he deals with pure Vaishnavas is he knows, because he knows how to judge who's who. He knows who are Shuddha Vaishnavas, that is, who is always surrendered to Krishna's will, and he surrenders there. Then Haridas Babaji Mahasaya, actually they're all Babaji Mahasayas, you'll hear when Vaishnava Das is speaking, or Paramahamsa Das Babaji is speaking, or the Hearing Mahasaya is speaking. They're all referred to as Babaji Mahasaya. A literal definition of Mahasaya, Asaya, means hope, and Maha means great. Their hope is always to come closer and closer to Krishna. So Haridas Babaji Mahasaya told Nityananda Das and all the other Vaishnavas present that this same question of how can I tell who's a Vaishnava was answered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And each year he told them a little bit differently. But even when Mahaprabhu was speaking about the Kanistha Adhikaris, it wasn't the Kanistha Adhikari that's discussed here by Haridas Babaji. And we'll discuss that in a minute. The Kanistha Adhikaris, as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they always chant Shaya Namavas. There's two kinds of Namavas, or dim reflection or semblance of the name. One is Pratibimba, which means that you want bhakti, but you don't have it yet, and you're going after it. And then there's Chaya, which is just thinking anything and everything and committing offenses and all that. And that person's name is covered by anarthas and ignorance, so he's not really chanting the name. Just as the sun is covered by the clouds, he's not really chanting the sun, he's actually chanting the clouds. Not now. Or maybe a drop of sun is coming. If it's actually real, pure Namavas, then it's mixed with an occasional Shuddhanam, gradually. Whereas the Madhyama, he's always chanting. And Mahaprabhu is explaining that there's three kinds of Vaishnavas. One who chants once purely, one who chants always, and one who, simply by looking at him, another person starts chanting. And none of them, this is where Haridas Babaji is saying that Mahaprabhu is not referring to the Kanistha Adhikari in any of the three kinds of Vaishnavas. Because the Kanistha Adhikari, when it says, even if you chant once Hare Krishna, it means the real Hare Krishna, not Chaya Namavas or Namaparad. So it's really starting from Madhyama. Because only a Madhyama can even once chant Shuddhanam mixed with his Namavas and. But he's basically free from offenses, except Haridas Babaji said that in the beginning of Madhyama, when Kanistha is just coming into the threshold of Madhyama, there may be some offenses, but it quickly goes away. Now Haridas Babaji explains elaborately the various ways that the Madhyama Vaishnava acts with others. Maitri, prema for Krishna, Maitri for others. Maitri or friendship means three things: association, service, and conversation. So according to the level of other Vaishnavas, he converses, he serves, and he associates. And how does he associate? He welcomes them, he seeks them, he shows them respect, he never criticizes them. Even if the Vaishnava, the pure Vaishnava, is ugly or deformed or diseased, he never criticizes Vaishnavas, as explained in the, I think that's the seventh verse of Upadeshamrit, that the Vaishnava should never be seen in a material way. So that was prema, maitri, and balashi. That is, balashi means, you know, Balakrishna, baby Krishna. So one is a baby in bhakti. He acts in a certain way towards the ignorant and foolish people who have no Sambandha Gyan, who worship the deity with faith but don't have any Vaishnava Sevya. But the Kanista has good qualities. He does worship the deity with faith. He believes in the form of the deity. He's not a Mayavadi, because a Mayavadi will worship the deity, but thinking that after my worship is complete, then I'll throw the deity away and I'll merge with the impersonal Brahman. The Kanista is actually at the door of bhakti. So the Madhyama Adhikari is merciful to him. He satisfies his needs. He treats him as he would treat any good guest. But that's not enough. He also brings them up in bhakti by instruction, by forgiving, by protecting them from bad association. And he encourages him, he encourages the Kanista Adhikari in his increasing his faith and attraction for the deity. Because there's still some influence in a Kanista Adhikari in the beginning stages of touch of Mayavadi. That's why Prabhupada Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Tadesha Tarani. And then how does the Madhyama Adhikari deal with the atheists and those who are inimical to bhakti and bhakta? With upeksha, prema, maitri, kripa, mercy, maitri, friendship, and upeksha, neglect. He neglects those who are envious or inimical. The word envy, Haridas Babaji Mahasaya said, means the opposite of love. And there's five kinds of envy, actually. One is no faith in Krishna. One is thinking that Krishna is like material nature, that if you serve him this way, then you get good karma. One is Krishna has no form. And one is the jivas are not Krishna's servants. And one is he has no mercy. Those are five different kinds of envy. He's not forgiving and he's not merciful. He's not even a prakriti bhakta or a materialistic devotee. So now, what is the meaning of neglect? It isn't that you just like snub your nose and walk past them, but you can deal, if you have to, in ordinary social dealings. Like suppose your family's a non-devotee, then you have to deal in ordinary social dealings because, especially a grihastha, He has business, so he can't just snub all the people in his office or factory. And also, you can't ignore somebody's distress. Like, for example, if you see some karmi who's against Krishna and they get hit by a car, you can't just walk away. You can, you know, at least ask somebody to call the hospital or an ambulance. Because especially Grihastha Bhaktas have so many responsibilities in the world, within marriage, maintenance of property, as a citizen, to help suffering people. So what does neglect mean then? It means that you never enter any spiritual talks with them or any spiritual atmosphere with them. Srila Gurudev, when he was speaking about that, the young girl with the many bracelets and the from the Bhagavad Arkham Rishi Mala of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that some men came to see if she was a good candidate for their son. A few people, I don't know if they're all men. And she was very poor and she didn't want them to know. So she had to fresh the rice, her own rice from the paddy, because they didn't have any rice in the house. But her bangles were jingling and she knew that they would realize that she was poor if they heard the jingling bangles, so she kept taking off more and more bangles. And then she only had two bangles on each hand, but they were jingling also, so then she broke that, and then there was only one bangle. So on one hand, this means that one should be alone, because if one is with others, they'll be quarreling. But once when Gurudev gave the purport to this story, he said that one should associate, if he has to, with non-devotees, but not with any meaning, just as a social custom, to not create disturbance. And don't waste time arguing with them. Because as Prabhupada said, it takes so much time to argue with non-devotees, and the same amount of time and energy can be put in easily convincing so many innocents. So don't waste time with one non-devotee. If a Madhyama Adhikari does not act in these four ways, even though he's eligible to act in these four ways, this is a big defect. Although myself, I don't understand why he wouldn't, if that's his nature, to act in these four ways. In worldly activities, he's always straightforward. And he always considers the spiritual benefit of others. Like, for example, suppose you can't speak to your mother about Krishna consciousness, but you're still concerned about her spiritual welfare, so you might give her prasadam, or you might play a tape of some bhajan or Gurudev or Prabhupada or some pure devotee giving a lecture. So then this young Vaishnava, now we find out his name is Nityananda Das, he says, now please tell me, how does the Uttama Adhikari behave? So Haridas said, I was just going to talk about it. So just wait a minute, let me finish what I have to say, and then I'll get to it. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the character of Haridas. He was very strict, but not fault-finding. So therefore he was strict with him that I'm coming to it. So he said, when one is a Madhyama Vaishnava, then he does sadhana only for the purpose of attaining bhav, and then bhav only for the purpose of attaining prema. Then he becomes Uttama Vaishnava. So what is an Uttama Vaishnava? He sees, this is also explained by Prahlad Maharaj, he sees all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna, as within Krishna, and he sees that everyone has the same relationship with Krishna as he does. Like Prahlad might think everybody has a relationship with Lord Nrisimhadev, the gopis think that everybody has Maranakya, Mahabhav. They think that all living entities, even if the living entities are not devotees, they think that they all love Krishna. And sometimes he may seem to act like a lesser person. Like, for example, Sukadeva Goswami, even though he was criticizing Kamsa, that he's a disgrace, he said, oh, Kamsa is a disgrace to the Bhoja dynasty. But that he wasn't criticizing him out of envy, but he was criticizing him impelled by his own praying. So really he has no other mood but true love for Krishna, and every word that comes out of his mouth, every glance that comes out of his eyes is all emanating from that position of praying for the best interest of everybody. He doesn't make any distinction between the different classes of Vaishnavas and distinction between a Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. He sees everyone as serving Krishna except for himself. The Uttam Bhakta. So therefore, then how you can ask, well, how do our acharyas come to this world to preach? They come acting, though their inner bhav is always like an uttama, that is, they're always seeing the pastimes of Krishna, they're always weeping and experiencing the astasattvika bhavs internally, but externally they play the role of a majjhima adhikari, and that's why they can make distinctions. Only the uttama is allowed to not make distinctions. The madhyama is not allowed, and the kanista, he can't. So the only one who's actually eligible for that is the uttama adhikari. Is eligible for not discriminating. If the madhyama didn't discriminate, he would be offensive. So Mahaprabhu told the inhabitants of Kaliya Gram in the 3 years that they asked the questions, how do I know who's a Vaishnava, what kind of behavior does he have? He told them that he, as I previously mentioned, and then he said that this instruction that he's giving is more important than the Vedas, because the Vedas are actually Krishna's orders, and Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. At that point, Haridas stopped speaking, and Nityananda Das asked, can I ask a question? And then Haridas said, as it pleases you. And then Nityananda Das said, well, can you tell me which I am? Am I a Kanista, or am I a Majjhima, or am I an Uttama? So, of course, Haridas could have answered that question without any further ado, but he wanted to have some reciprocation to help this Nityananda Das understand. So he said, well, if you tell me about yourself, your history, and what's going on with your life, then I'll be able to tell you. So then Nityananda said, well, I was born in a poor family, then I got married, and my parents died, and my wife died, and I sort of became detached, and I kind of got an attraction for renunciation. But then even my attraction for renunciation was based on a desire for respect, because I figured if I look renounced, then everybody will respect me. So it's like kind of a mixed thing, a mixed bag, as they say. And then he said, even though I was associating with devotees, my determination, because I wasn't truly renounced, because I had the desire, I wasn't renounced from the desire for honor, therefore my determination was only temporary. My mind was very fickle. It wasn't controlled. And even though I got a good association, and I started getting some taste in Nam, and I started following Kadasi, I started worshipping Tulsi, I started taking the water from the Vaishnava's feet, I didn't want to eat anything but Krishna Prasadam. Still, I had desire for honor. That if I would just show some ecstatic symptoms of weeping and rolling on the floor, then everybody would really think I'm great. I desired to roll on the ground and weep, but then all of a sudden those other things came. Isn't that like... Of course, we're not Madhyama, at least I'm not a Madhyama Adhikari, but still, sometimes the desire to weep. I can't weep, but sometimes the desire to weep comes, but then immediately it's... And if I wept, then, wow, everybody would honor me. So then Haridas Babaji, now he's given his, Nityananda Das has given his story. So Haridas Babaji says, I think Vaishnava Das should say who you are, which one you are. And Vaishnava Das said, well, he sounds like he would be a Madhyama Adhikari. Of course, there are different stages of Madhyama. And then Haridas Thakur said, yes, I would think that also. Then Nityananda was so grateful. He said, I'm so grateful that you told me who I am, and now I can know how to advance. Now I need the mercy from you all, how to become Uttama. So Vaishnava Das said, the desire for honor has to be removed. You have to give it up. Of course, that can only come by Vaishnava's mercy. Then Nityananda Das said, well, even now, at this very moment, I desire honor. Then Haridas Thakur said, if you don't give it up, then you'll descend to Kanistha. And you should always consider that fame is a wicked enemy of the Vaishnavas. Not fame, but desire for fame is a wicked enemy. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami prayed in Manushiksha. Oh mind, how can pure love enter my heart when the audacious dog-eating, dancing, outcast woman of desire for fame dances in my heart. Please call on the pure devotees of Krishna so that being merciful to you, they will kick out a desire for fame and put in pure bhakti. Then Haridas told him that even one tiny atomic drop of spiritual emotion is far, far superior to a ton of false thinking. So Nityananda was so grateful again. He said, oh, please give me your mercy that I can be like that. Then, just by that, because he offered his obeisances and touched his feet, Nityananda, so Haridas, just to show the power of touching the pure Vaishnava, you know how everybody goes to Gurudev's feet when he passes by? The power of touching the pure Vaishnava is that Haridas immediately felt a little unsettled, and he got up from his own seat, and then he sat Nityananda Das beside him, and he patted him on the back. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur exclaims, how extraordinary is the power of touching the Vaishnava. All of a sudden, what happened? What's the symptom of that power of touching a Vaishnava in humility? All of a sudden, Nityananda Das started tears flowing from his eyes. And then although Haridas Babaji Mahasaya tried not to cry with him, he also, tears started flowing from his eyes. And then all the Vaishnavas present, that is the Vaishnavas from Sri Gaura Hrida, the Vaishnavas from Godrum, and the new guests from Baragati, they all started crying. And then Nityananda said, so now please, if you kindly answer these questions. What are the primary and secondary characteristics of the Kanista Adhikari? And Haridas replied, the primary characteristic is worship of the deity and faith in the form of the deity, and a secondary characteristic is hearing, chanting, remembering, serving lotus feet, offering prayers, you know, the nine, or he can't do the last two. The last two is becoming a friend and surrendering everything. But at least the first he can do. So then Nityananda said, well, I don't understand, because in Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna is, you know, so essential, it's a little bhakti. How come it's considered as a secondary characteristic of the Kanista and not the primary characteristic? So Haridas Babaji replied that it's not really a limit bhakti for the Kanista, because he's doing it with motivation, and it's mixed with the three modes of nature, goodness and the desires therein, passion and ignorance. You can read about the qualities of the different modes of nature in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu is secondary because it's not nirgun. When it's nirgun, then it actually becomes hearing, chanting, remembering. It becomes pure limbs of bhakti. Otherwise, it's like we're hearing and some pure devotee is hearing. We're both hearing. But for us, it's like sukriti, and for somebody else, it's bhakti. For one, us, we're getting sanskars, and for somebody else, it's ecstatic love, pure bhakti, anyabhilashita sunyam. Then Nityananda Prabhu asked, well, when and how will bhakti come to the Kanista Adhikari? So Haridas says, Shuddha bhakti, or pure bhakti, which means you're actually practicing the limbs of bhakti, comes at Madhyama Adhikari. And because Madhyama Adhikari is the beginning of real sadhana, therefore it's the beginning of Anyabhilashita Sunyam. So at that time in the Madhyama Adhikari, karma does not cover, jnana does not cover, yoga or other non to please Krishna exclusively desires don't cover. So they're not as pure as the Bhava Bhaktas or the Prema Bhaktas. Madhyama is still in sadhana and approaching Bhav. When one is in Bhav, then he's like the beginning of Uttam. So that's the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti, is Madhyama Adhikari. He only wants pure bhakti. So all of his efforts, all of his mental efforts, all of his verbal efforts are for that. He won't say anything that doesn't help him get to pure bhakti. Like myself, everything I say is not for bhakti, which is my sense gratification. Then Nityananda said, okay, sadhana bhakti comes when there's sambandhagyan. I understand that. So can you please tell me what is sambandhagyan? Then Haridas replies, it's not Mayavad. The Mayavadas are contaminated with I am God and Krishna's form is temporary. So Nityananda said, well, how long does it take to get sambandhagyan? Then Haridas said, it depends on sukritis. That's why Prabhupada created such a system of sukritis, international, mass sukriti giving to his disciples, to his aspiring disciples, to his grand disciples to be, to the non-devotees, by mass prasadam distribution, mass Nagar Sankirtan, mass book distribution. Like Prabhupada once said, if somebody gets a book and then they start reading it, one of his books, and they're thinking, I don't believe this. This is nonsense. Still, it's under the category of smaranam, that is remembering. It's not pure remembering, it's not a limb of bhakti, but it's Sukritis and sanskars for coming to that. Then Nityananda asked, well, what is the first result of having enough Sukritis? And then Haridas said, the first result is sadhusanga. And from sadhusanga and hearing sadhusanga, all the other stages come. Satam prasangam, mamavirya samvido. That should be one of our homework assignments. For those of you who were not in our previous classes, you know that we learn certain verses in each chapter. And this is one of the verses that we learn in this chapter. It's like a homework assignment for all of those who are listening on the phone and those of you who are will later on be listening by CD. And last month we discussed some easy ways to learn verses. That is, while you're doing anything, you could learn a verse. You say a few words, and then you recite those words. First learn the English. Otherwise, it's just a combination of various syllables sounding. Like in Chinese, I was in China last month, and they say the same syllables as we do in English, but they're just in a different order, and they don't make any sense. So unless we know the English and the word-for-word translation, it's just a bunch of syllables, and we'll probably get them wrong, and we don't know what we're saying, and therefore it's harder to learn it. So while you're doing anything, like I gave the example of ironing, suppose you're ironing, and then you put the book at the end of the ironing board, and you say the first line of your verse, and then you iron down the board, and saying the verse again and again, and then come back to the other end of the ironing board, and then say your second line, and then go down to the other end of the ironing board, and come back, and then say your first and second line, each time, 5 times, 10 times, and then to 5 people a day, you say your verse. Even if you mess it up, it doesn't matter. When I was learning the verse by Amdutiya Vinivesitasyad, I allowed myself to mess up several times when I was giving classes just so I could have practice. And Vasanti was in the audience and she would always call out to me, what were the right words? Allow the mess up. Don't be afraid or ashamed, because only by that can we come to actually learning. So, in sadhusanga, satam prasangam mamavirya samvido, by hearing, Lord Kapila Deva is saying, by hearing the association of pure devotees and taking that nectar tonic in the ears and heart, then all anarthas start going away and one comes to sadhan bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Let's see what time it is now. Now it's 8:15. Do you want me to hurry through the chapter? Huh? And it's 10:45 for you, Achyuta Krishna Prabhu. Do you want me to hurry through the chapter, or should we end here and just ask for a couple of questions? Achyuta Krishna, are you there? Hello? Is this class going on? Hare Krishna. Phone working?
Oh, it is working.
Okay.
Haribo? Haribo? Haribo?
Oh man.
Do the cord?
This is gonna be an internet class.